This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In just a few hours, President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress and the nation, outlining his agenda on the economy, security, and trade. It comes as the U.S. imposed tariffs on China, Canada, and Mexico imports today. That triggered reciprocal tariffs on U.S. goods. Democratic senators gathered at the Capitol with constituents voicing concern. Gary Wordish is a lifelong farmer and president of Minnesota's Farmers Union.
President Trump, when in his first term, he had the tariff war that he started back then in 2018. In that time, it hit primarily against China, which is a large soybean buyer of the United States. We have not recovered from that, and we never will.
GOP Senate leader John Thune thinks he sees tariffs through a different lens than the president. The Vatican says Pope Francis, who is battling pneumonia, will sleep with a ventilator mask following yesterday's respiratory episodes. And severe storms on the march across Gulf states, including Louisiana, where Mardi Gras celebrations are underway. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, ranking member of the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health, and Human Services, Education, and related agencies, slammed the Trump administration for stopping $65 million in funding for Alzheimer's disease research at institutions across the country. 14 of the 35 Alzheimer's disease research centers have had their funding halted by the National Institutes of Health because the Trump administration continues to cancel NIH Advisory Council meetings, which are the final required step in the grant approval process. The Trump administration has prohibited NIH from announcing more than 185 study section and advisory council meetings on the Federal Register, forcing the cancellation of NIH's National Institute on Aging January Advisory Council meeting, where renewal applications for the 14 ADRCs were to be reviewed. As a result, those 14 ADRCs will begin to run out of funding starting today, and all of them will run out of funding by April 30th. President Trump has single-handedly stopped Alzheimer's disease research in its tracks. Let that sink in, said Senator Baldwin. She added, the millions upon millions of families with a loved one with Alzheimer's disease or related dementias are relying on this research for hope. But Donald Trump and Elon Musk are refusing to fund this research because they are in an all-out quest for every dollar they can find for their billionaire tax break. This is Alzheimer's disease research, including at the University of Wisconsin, that is discovering ways to prevent these diseases, detect them earlier, develop new treatments, and ultimately find cures. But Donald Trump is throwing that by the wayside so he can give handouts to his wealthy friends. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
A setback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers starting left-handed pitcher Aaron Ashby had to leave last night's spring training game in Arizona in the second inning. Manager Pat Murphy says it's an oblique muscle injury requiring an MRI. The Brewers went on to lose to the Reds 5-4. Ashby, the sixth Brewers pitcher, now dealing with an injury. NBA, the Bucks in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Milwaukee has won six of their last seven games, and they've now moved up to fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Badgers men team getting ready to play Minnesota in the Twin Cities. Head coach Greg Gard.
Yeah, it is a border state. You know, we've recruited that area really well. That area's been really good to us. We've got really good players from there. It's important in terms of a Big Ten tournament seeding. It's important to get the double bye if you can. And quite frankly, you boil it down to it's your next game and you're competitive and you want to win. The other stuff that can happen from that is a byproduct of, you know, doing good things on Wednesday night.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain tonight, changing to snow tomorrow. Accumulations of 2 to 4 inches, but wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour, creating areas of blowing snow. Wind advisory issued. Temps fall out of the 30s into the 20s. Right now it's 45.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to be on the air on this Tuesday night, broadcasting statewide over the great state of Wisconsin from beautiful but rainy downtown Green Bay. I'm going to get some rain tonight on the way home. I know it. About 3 weeks ago, I left here, and it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get home because snow came out of nowhere, and I blame Brittany Merlot. What do you think about that, Conrad?
Well,
she's not here to defend herself, so I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be snow tonight, but you might be running those windshield wipers on high.
Yeah, as I get up north, though, the temperature could drop.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens. I am well-schooled in driving through crappy weather, though, folks. Great to have you with me. On this Tuesday, we are going to party like it's a Tuesday, folks. And, you know, last night I had one of my favorite shirts on a Monday. I don't ever do that because you don't waste your best shirt on a Monday. Tonight I got this, like, kind of... This is a total Tuesday shirt. I don't know if you're watching on the stream, but tune in. You can see what shirt I'm wearing. You can voice your opinion. You wear your best shirt on Friday, right? Ideally.
I think so. Or okay. The Christmas Eve of weekdays.
Thursday is a good night to wear a good shirt, too. There's nothing wrong with it. Last night, I kind of shot my wad on a Monday with my best shirt. Now I don't know what to do. I'm going to be like in a tank top on Friday by the time the weekend gets here.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. I'm not saying I have the guns I used to, but we'll see what happens. Fun show tonight, folks. Okay, I just found out that John Egan is not Appleton-based. I don't know who introduced me to John Egan. I think it was Mike Mercury. I think. But for some reason, I had in my head he was an Appleton-based comedian. And John is getting a little testy about this. He said, stop saying I'm from Appleton, and he threatened me. He put a ha-ha after the Twitter. But you know what ha-ha means to me? I have brass knuckles, and I'm not afraid to use them, pal. And maybe he's not from Appleton. I don't know that I believe him. I think he is, but I see John in Appleton, and I'm going to keep pushing for Appleton. I think John would do very well in Appleton. But we'll have we can ask him about that at 6:35 and find out why he hates Appleton. And then Craig Kinnett is here at 7:20. That'll be fun. Craig is a local filmmaker and also a teacher who teaches filmmaking to kids. And he's always got, Craig always has a ton of stuff going on. So we're going to talk to Craig about film festivals. There's another a tribute coming up, I believe, at the Green Bay Film Festival with Bill Rabane, who made the giant spider invasion. So we'll talk to Craig about that as well. He's coming into the studio at 7:20. If he can brave the elements and Green Bay traffic and bad neighborhoods, hopefully Craig will get here in one piece. John Egan, being from Appleton, doesn't have that problem because Appleton's a very nice town.
Appleton's a lovely city.
Appleton's a lovely city, as is Green Bay. We're all doing very well. So those are our guests for tonight. I think a couple swell guys celebrating Northeast Wisconsin here tonight on Nightlight, as we often do. And, you know, I heard the word on the street is, Conrad, that as many of you know, Adrian Brody gave the longest speech, the longest acceptance speech in Oscar history. He was one second shy of the record. He gave the second longest acceptance speech in Oscar's history, missed the record by 1 second. All through the show last night, he was still talking. I kind of just ruined the gag.
Well, I think he went 2 days over now, actually.
Is he still talking?
There's so many people to thank. I will really try and be as brief as possible.
Good luck.
I thank, of course, my team, Andrew Sulis, and my many friends at CAA, and Lindsay Gallen, and Heather, 2 p.m. sharp, and A24, and Focus and Universal for believing in us, and Brady and Mona for what you've done for independent film and for your beautiful spirit and for giving me space to exist in this triumph of a work.
Going.
And my fellow cast, Guy and Felicity, you're just brilliant and lovely.
Let's catch the
rest
of that.
And I share this with you.
On the miniseries. I'm sure it's coming out. There's going to be a miniseries on Apple TV, Adrian Brody's acceptance speech. I would have loved it if he said, I'd like to thank my team, the Buffalo Bills, and just went into launched into like his favorite football team or something. Such a weird dude.
It felt like more of a, you know, personal conversation than acceptance speech.
He was working some stuff out, you know? Hey, it's Fat Tuesday and it's National Snack Day. It's National Suns Day. Not the Phoenix Suns. Sorry, Conrad.
That's all right.
National Dance the Waltz Day. I think my audience is a little more schooled and cultured, so I think they know what a waltz is. But I think if you put that out there, like let's say people your age, Conrad, do you think they all know what a waltz is?
I've never done a waltz, but
you know it's a dance, right?
Yeah.
But you probably wouldn't know what it is.
I mean, I know what it is, but I just never done the dance. Maybe people younger than me probably don't know what it is.
You grew up in a different house, though. Your parents gave you waltz lessons every night, so you're kind of that rarity. I had a friend in grade school, junior high, when I moved to Marinette. His name was Rob, and I don't know. I was used to seeing like Irish dancers when I was in Chicago and all these different instruments, and when I found out my friend Rob could tap dance, and he was great. I'm like, you tapped it? Like in this little town. He's like, oh yeah, he does shows and he was awesome at it. Love watching tap dancing. And to be honest, I know a little bit of the waltz. My wife and I did that. We kind of took lessons so we could do something at our wedding for the first dance. But yeah, that's a big one. But today is Fat Tuesday. For you Catholics out there, I want to know what your plans are. And that leads us to our question of the day.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your fat meal? What is your Fat Tuesday meal? You got to fatten up today, folks, because Lent starts tomorrow. Probably going to give something up. Most people do food, I think. So what is your Fat Tuesday meal? What's yours, Conrad?
Ooh, I think it would be some pasta.
Okay.
Probably some, like, chicken Alfredo.
Okay.
With a whole heap of Parmesan cheese on it.
So you like that cream sauce. You're loading up.
And then I like some garlic bread with it. So... some really good garlic bread, not the one you get in the freezer.
Well, no, it's Fat Tuesday.
You go out.
Yeah.
Or you make it yourself.
Absolutely.
And then finish it off of the day, just a Big Mac, because why not?
After a heaping mound of pasta and a Big Mac meal, too, probably.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think I would go Italian for this. I think I'm going with, like, Maggiano's. If you've ever been to a Maggiano's, they have this meal where they have, like, rigatoni, a very light cream sauce, chicken that melts in your mouth, and Parmesan, tons of garlic, mushrooms. It is such an amazing meal. And there's like a white, no, probably a red wine sauce mixed in there. It is so good. And I haven't been to a Maggiano's in a long time, but when I used to go, they would give you so much food, you couldn't finish it. And then you take it home and you couldn't finish that. I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up on the menu because I just thought of it. I was going to go Indian food. I have an Indian restaurant in Madison I like called Maharini. And I know I like the chicken tiki masala. They make it, it's so good. But I think for Fat Tuesday, if I can just pack on calories and carbohydrates, I'm going Italian. And I'm going to find out what that dish is at Maggiano's as well. You ever eaten at Maggiano's?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. If you like Italian food, and who doesn't, you got to try it. I'm going to find out the, I'll find out the name of it. But that's my Fat Tuesday meal. What's your Fat Tuesday meal? That's our question tonight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or on the app. I know you guys have the app because we get a lot of texts on the app. It's so easy to use. There's a little icon. Push the icon and fire away, and I will read your texts on the radio. I'm really curious tonight to see, because kind of like our soup question last week, I want to know what people are eating. I would love to know what they want to binge on Fat Tuesday. I haven't drank in a while, but I'd probably go a nice big glass of red wine, too, with that Italian food, and probably some garlic bread to start things off.
I would just need to have water the whole time just because I don't want to stuff my face with other stuff that brings calories, too.
Because you're eating too much salt, too.
Yes.
Man, I did that, too. I mowed some ice cream last weekend. And you don't realize how much salt is in ice cream, but you always get thirsty later. It's so weird. So I'm going to pull up. I got to find this Maggiano's menu. And then I want to let everyone know what dish this is. All right, I'll find it during the break. But that's our question. Let us know what you think, folks. Love to hear from you guys. There is still, it's so funny because the Oscars are now, 2 days removed. And there's such great stories coming from the event. I love this. Macaulay Culkin, who has never won an Oscar, I don't think he's ever been nominated, I don't know for sure, talked about how happy he was for his brother, Kieran. And I always wondered if those guys were close, because Kieran played Fuller McAllister in Home Alone, and Macaulay obviously played Kevin. So they were brothers in the movie, brothers in real life, and it turns out they're close. Like Macaulay Culkin said he cried, he was thrilled for his brother. Just a great story. We have a phone call.
Yes, Cindy from Appleton.
Cindy. How are you, Cindy?
Good. How are you, Pete? I just came from the March 4th rally downtown Appleton. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, I'm not Catholic, so every day is Fat Tuesday for me.
Take advantage of that, Cindy. Must be nice. What's your meal? Like, let's say you could have whatever you wanted every night. What meal are you going for?
Oh, probably pizza.
Pizza. Nice.
I love pizza.
That's kind of Italian, too. I said Italian food myself. Do you have a favorite pizza?
Sausage and mushroom.
Sausage and mushroom. What about a brand like a pizza place? Do you have a preferred store?
We have a lot of good pizza places here. I mean, we have Sammy's, we have Cranky Pats, we have Frank's, and we have, I'm trying to think who else has got some good pizzas.
Wow.
We've got a lot of good places here for pizza, so.
That is awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yep. Eat some Italian food. Eat some pizza for us tonight, and happy Fat Tuesday, Cindy.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot. Lots of pizza places in Appleton. We'll have to ask John Egan about that when he's here.
I'm sure he'll know all about it.
He's going to punch me. We're coming right back. We're going to hear a little bit of John Egan's comedy. And we've got other stuff planned too, Conrad. Don't just think we're just doing this one thing. We got a whole show planned here tonight. You're not getting out of here before 8 o'clock, Conrad. Or listeners, we're in this together, people. We're coming right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me, and I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Winning an award like this is, it signifies a destination. And,
okay,
it's something my character references in the film.
If he says anything important, we'll cut back in. We'll make it breaking news. That sounds like a story. I know Stuart J. Waddles does pretty good work here. Melissa Kay, all the news people, Lisa Hale, but we've got a story too. And it's Adrian Brody's speech, and it's still going on, so we will cut back as needed, folks. I promise you, you won't miss anything. Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? I say Italian food. I did look up that meal at Maggiano's. If you live near a Maggiano's, it's called Rigatoni D. And I would be surprised if the portions are as big as they used to be, because I'm not kidding. It was insane. You would take so much food home. You had lunch, like, for the rest of the week. And that's the way it should be. It's pasta. It costs like 40 cents, you know. But that's my meal, Rigatoni D. And if Maggiano's is closed, I go to Maharani in Madison and get the chicken tiki masala. Conrad said, what did you say again? Oh, you're going a fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah, with some chicken in it. Yeah. And then a garlic bread on the side and just a Big Mac.
How about a big glass of milk, too, on the side?
Oh, no.
Let's work okay. Some more dairy.
That's where I draw the line, Pete.
Brian from Green Bay, that's the 920, folks, if you're scoring at home. He says Glorioso's in Milwaukee. God, I've heard of that. Is that on Brady Street? Is that one of those old Italian places on Brady Street?
If it is, I actually never went to that place.
Or is that an Italian joint restaurant? I don't know. I know I've heard of that, if not eaten there 30 years ago. Thank you, Brian. Glorioso's in Milwaukee. All right. Cindy from Appleton. We just heard from Cindy. She's doing pizza. Paula, Conrad's mom, checking in, says, I made homemade mac and cheese with chicken sausage. Ooh. Well, that's interesting.
Glorioso's is on Brady Street, by
okay,
the way.
I thought so. Yeah. I think it's like a deli, if I'm not
it
mistaken.
It is. It's an Italian
deli.
Yeah,
I know. I've been in there. There used to be an Italian place on Brady Street called Cataldo's. And we would do our shows at the Comedy Cafe. Then we'd go out drinking. And Cataldo's was open until like 5 in the morning. Like, you felt like a good fellow when you walked in there. You're going in to order fettuccine and clam sauce or linguine and clam at like 3 in the morning. And it was fun. Like, you could pretend you were like a wise guy. Like, I don't want to sit with my back to the door, you know. And you did get some wise guys that came in there from time to time. Milwaukee has a mob, as we've discussed on this show.
Yeah.
And we would be real loud in there and laughing. And then we'd see guys we thought maybe that would kill us, and we'd pipe down. That was a great restaurant, though. I don't think it's there anymore. It had this great green and, like, maroon exterior. Really cool place. Brian from Green Bay also says, or Brothers 3 Pizza. That's in Marinette. And I think they have one in Ocano, too. That is a foolproof pizza recipe. It has been around since we moved to Marinette 40 years ago when I was a kid. It's still there, and it's changed owners a few times, but the recipe is there. It's very good pizza. And it's like the same restaurant. It's been updated like once in 40 years. Check it out if you're in Marinette or O'Connell. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My Fat Tuesday meal would be coconut shrimp at Red Lobster with a baked potato with sour cream, coleslaw, and a glass of Prosecco.
You know, also their little like garlic buns or whatever. Yeah, those called, things are so good.
What are they? They're like crab or something seasoning. I don't know. They have it's a cool so name. Good. Yeah. They are good. Yeah, you wolf about 10 of those down before you even get your meal. And strawberry cheesecake for dessert. That is a Fat Tuesday meal. Coconut shrimp. Okay, I'm fasting tonight, so this is really brutal. I can't believe I chose this. That's my actual Fat Tuesday meal is no food. Thank you, Anna. Great text. Brian, again, from Green Bay says, yes, since 1946 on Brady Street. Confirmed, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Thank you for the text. Keep them coming. What is your Fat Tuesday meal, folks? Let's have some fun with this one like we already are. Hey, we've got John Egan coming up in just a few minutes. Very funny guy. I had the pleasure of working with John just about a month ago in Marinette. I brought him up there for a fundraiser with Johnny Beaner and Jessica Phillips, all of whom have been on the show. And here is a little sample of John Egan's comedy.
So what I do is I go to, you know, after work, I got to pick him up from school, the daycare, you know, she's like, oh, he was an angel all day. And as soon as he gets to me, he just starts crying, just crying, just crying. Put him in the car seat, crying. Because, you know, I don't want 10 minutes alone by myself to just rewind from the day or unwind or take a breath or listen to a podcast. So I get home, you know, I got to pass him off right to her. There's no kiss anymore because she has to breastfeed him because that's not mine anymore, too. That's super fun, you know. Not even during sex. She's like, oh, there's milk in there. Cool, fun. This is so great. So she starts doing that, and then she's like, as soon as she starts feeding him, she's like, well, what's for dinner? I'm like, oh, great. We had 8 damn hours to talk about over our cellular phones, but right now is the perfect time. So I got to go because I have no idea because right now, one time I forgot to take a list to the grocery store, so now we have to go every other week for grocery shopping because she doesn't trust me, so I don't know what's in there. All right, so that's super fun. So I go in there, and I grab some whole wheat pasta, which you guys, did you know that there's measurements on there? I had no idea. My whole life I was like, let's make pasta. Too much. All right, so then I start making some whole wheat pasta. I'm like, I can't. We're not poor. I can't just have whole wheat pasta. So I start making some vegetables in a pan. I'm like, well, we need some meat. So I throw some turkey pepperoni and some bacon bits in there. I mean, we're not rich. I can't afford real bacon. That's ridiculous. Silly. So I'm making all that. I'm like, well, these are not going to cook at the same time. So I take out an egg pan, which I didn't know existed until I was married. I'm like, you can make one egg? What? All right, so then I put that down. And I transfer the turkey pepperoni and the bacon bits all the way over to the egg pan. But I forgot there's olive oil, so that burns immediately. So now we got to put on the fan, wave off the alarm so he doesn't scream. And then we got to put that all together. And now at this point, at 9 months, he's doing puree food, avocado, puree food, soft toast, or he screams. You have to do that damn order. So then you got to make sure he's full. So now we're going to eat our cold pasta burnt. And we can't even talk about our day for 5 minutes. We can't just be like, why does he keep tweeting? Why can't the president spell? So then we're just trying to eat. And then we're trying to eat. So now then after that, we're going to have to get him ready for bed and put him on the changing table, which I don't know if you know exists, but every baby hates it. You can change him on the ottoman, on the floor, on an RV, on a damn carnival ride. It doesn't matter. But if you put him on the changing table, he wants to flip over and pee and flip over, do something else. Poop a damn poop avalanche on the floor.
He just gets going and going. He's a great storyteller, and he crushed him in Marinette. It's going to be fun to have John here in just a couple minutes, folks. We'll do that after the news. We'll welcome, let's say this, just so he doesn't come after me with the brass knuckles, Northeast Wisconsin's own John Egan, until we actually hone in on his address. Maybe we could do that. We'll bring that up with John after Civic Media's award-winning news team tells you what you need to know. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Where it should have.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Some Western Wisconsin residents are upset after Congressman Derek Van Orden's staff failed to show up to a scheduled event in Eau Claire and abruptly changed locations for a lacrosse event late last week. Van Orden blamed what he called agitator groups for the disruptions to his office's schedule. In La Crosse, Van Orden was set to meet with the North La Crosse Business Association at the Pearl Street Brewery, but then moved the event to Castaways and in the process rescinded registration from some people who planned to attend the event. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders is heading to Western Wisconsin later this week to visit Republican districts in support of Democratic politicians and liberal candidates on the spring nonpartisan ballot. Sanders will appear at Altoona High School on Saturday. According to a statement, Sanders' office said that he's holding the events to push back against the current presidential administration and to put pressure on congressmen like Derek Van Orden to vote against cuts to public services like Social Security. Van Orden criticized the planned appearance. Wisconsin sees its first ever dip in alcohol-related deaths following the spike in 2020. Alcohol consumption remains a significant issue in Wisconsin, with state health data showing that one in every five adults has engaged in binge drinking in the past month. The most recent data shows a drop in alcohol-related fatalities from 2022 to 2023, marking the first recorded decrease in years. Before this, alcohol-related deaths had increased annually since the DHS began tracking them in 2014. Since then, at least 27,000 people have died from alcohol-related causes in the state. DHS data reveals that alcohol-related acute deaths alone outnumber opioid deaths in the state. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 2025 Oscars are in the books. In case you missed the annual celebration of movies, here is a rundown of the big winners. The Best Supporting Actor trophy was the first major category announced, and the winner was Kieran Culkin for his role in A Real Pain. Taking home Best Supporting Actress, to no one's surprise, was Zoe Saldana for her role in Emilia Perez, a film that was nominated for 13 awards and won two. Winning his second Oscar for Best Actor was Adrian Brody for his role in The Brutalist. He probably deserved it just based on how long he had to stay in character, given the length of the film. Best Actress went to Mikey Madison for her role as the title character in Anora. Anora was really the story of the night as it made history, with director Sean Baker becoming the first person ever to win four Oscars from the same film. Baker won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture as the film's producer. He also won for Best Editing. Anora was nominated six times and won five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Rain tonight, changing to snow tomorrow. Accumulations of 2 to 4 inches, but wind gusts higher than 40 miles an hour, creating areas of blowing snow. Wind advisory issued. Temps fall out of the 30s into the 20s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada are in place. What does that mean for us at the grocery store? Darren Von Ruden joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Our question of the night is, what is your Fat Tuesday meal? It is Fat Tuesday. Happy Fat Tuesday, Catholics. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. But on Fat Tuesday, we do what we want. We pig out before we try to lose weight. We smoke a bunch of cigars if we try to stop smoking cigars. Although, if you're Norm Kopesky, owner of Appleton Cigar, why would you ever want to do that? But that's our question. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? Conrad is going for fettuccine Alfredo and a Big Mac. It's a great meal. I'm doing rigatoni D from Maggiano's or some chicken tiki masala from a place I like in Madison. And I would just chow. That rigatoni D is so good. But let me know what you think, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what your Fat Tuesday meal is. Get in on the fun. You know, it's funny. The Oscars were just a couple nights ago. But, well, let's ask, let's bring John Egan in, because I want to ask him about the Oscars, too. I love John's reaction to the Super Bowl halftime show. So I assume he's got some thoughts on the Oscars, but if I know John, he's got thoughts on a lot of things. So we'll get those now. It's my pleasure to welcome Northeast Wisconsin's own. His address, there's some, I'm not clear, obviously. And John is a little upset about that, so we'll work through this. He joins us now on the phone, comedian John Egan. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hello, Pete. I'm very insulted that I'm what you picked for Fat Tuesday. I'm a little insulted.
It has nothing to do with your weight, buddy. I just know
you appreciate
a nice hot meal at a fair price, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's
Do you, John? Do you have a favorite meal? Like, if you were going to go nuts tonight, what would be your meal?
Well, for Fat Tuesday, we always do jambalaya. But if I'm going nuts, I'm probably going full, you know, pizza, carb load, you know, like breadsticks.
Yeah.
Just stuffed crust, you know, probably maybe wings. Wow. If they have terrible wings, they can throw in with us, like a group of Pizza Hut wings, just because they're there.
Right. I'm laughing because you said if I'm going nuts, like I picture you like for some reason shirtless with 8 pounds of food around you, like you're going all out.
I wish I had that confidence to not be wearing a shirt while eating. It's more of a shame. Shameful thing where it's like the most clothes as possible while I eat.
So, okay, here's the thing. We got to work this out because you're not from Appleton. I thought you were. Sincerest apologies. I don't know who introduced us. I want to say it was Mike Mercury. So I might place part of the blame on him because I love to throw people under the bus.
Mike.
Okay, good. But where are you in De Pere?
Yes, I'm in De Pere, Green Bay area. Yeah.
All right. So I just feel like you're the kind of guy, John, I could see you in Appleton, and I mean that in a good way. It's a nice town.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, almost every Fox Valley comic lives there. It's like me and two other people, and then most of them live in the Appleton, Oshkosh area. So I can see why it's like the assumption that Fox Valley, everyone lives there.
They're both swell towns. They're both funny towns. You can't go wrong either way. So I apologize for that. Conrad, take a memo. We will never use the words Appleton and John Egan again in the same sentence.
Appleton is banned for me. Unless I'm promoting a gig in Appleton, then, yeah.
Okay, here's the other thing, John. I reached out to you today out of the goodness of my heart. I wanted to see if there's anything you wanted to promote. And you kind of came back. Yeah. You gave me a little sass. So is everything okay today? You seem a little on edge.
What did I say that was sassy?
Let me pull it up. Stand by.
Let's pull receipts here. This is what the people want.
Stand by. Okay. I know not to get into a war of words with you over social media because you're very good at it, and I'm not going to do that. Here's what I said. Happy to, walk you into anything, or if there's anything you're looking to promote or you want me to bring up, let me know. And you said, not really, no. I thought you brought me on for a reason. Ha ha. That's totally fine.
Okay. This is your generation's problem. No, I'm joking. When if someone says ha ha, it is not serious, which means I just know because you do need topics to bring for radio shows. Because I think you brought me on for Brewers once. You brought me on for comedy, so I didn't know if there was a theme tonight that you were doing.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought the ha-ha was not ha-ha like laughter, but ha-ha like you're pulling a sliver out of your hand or something when you type that.
Yeah, don't know. You need okay. Pete, you need to know that. If My someone bad. Puts ha-ha, they are joking around. That is to indicate their tone of the sentence.
Oh, Conrad, clip that for promo. That's funny. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I appreciate the clarity. Hey, we got a text here. I thought this was fun from the 608. Just based on what you said, John, I thought, and this came in right as you were saying it, so you've got a kindred spirit out there. Fat Tuesday means red beans and rice, jambalaya, and alligator gumbo with king cake for dessert and quaffing a few beers. That's from the 608. Thank you, 608. That's a good meal.
Yeah, I didn't have a king cake for a very long time. One of my buddies did, and like would always eat it with the little baby inside of it, the little golden baby, I believe that is.
I don't know what any of that means. What is king cake?
It's almost like a Kringle type thing where it's like a sweeter pastry dessert. And it's got like very like purple, green. It's got like gold on it. Usually it's like they put decorations, but inside is a tiny little like golden, like little baby Jesus thing. And then whoever finds it wins. And usually there's like a prize.
Okay. You know, to me, I just think it's the ha-ha of desserts. That's how I picture it. And, but thank you. Thank you for, that was good. That was fortuitous. All right. So how you doing in general, buddy? Hey, did you have fun in Marinette? That was fun having you up there.
Oh, it was, dude, it was a blast. It was, I was on like a whole string of like random gigs that 2 months. And so that night was great just because my father-in-law lives there. He took me out to eat before. I stayed at his house, like, and then the show was great. And I'm not gonna lie, this is like behind the curtain. This was one of the rare gigs where the venue was able to take breaks and all the comedians still killed. That is a rare feat in comedy.
That's very well said. You're right. That is rare, isn't it?
Because it shows how good the audience is, how well the setup is, and really the lineup as well. Like, there's not a lot of places where you can take a couple breaks and the audience is still right back into it. Because I had one of my favorite sets in a long time there.
That's great. And the breaks were long, too. They were like 10-minute breaks to do this 50-50 raffle. You're right. It never really occurred to me, but that's a great point. All right. I want to ask you, John, after the Kendrick halftime show, I went immediately to Facebook because I just like to bother myself and check in on friends or Facebook people who I know are going to have an issue with what he did or the halftime show in general. The first thing I see pop up is a post from you that said, "No one cares that you didn't like that."
Yeah.
did you just know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you just know?
Well, yeah, everything. I mean, that was the thing is that even days leading up to it, like I saw a really funny post from people being like, I know this, no one that needs to read this will read this, but you do not have to be upset and talk about it. Is that this might not be for you, and that is okay. Like, it's right. just going to happen. And like, it's just that I wonder what generation we're going to get to where as that generation finally gets older, they understand that it's not for them. And they just move on with their lives and understand that was 13 minutes of anything. That's
right.
Not even an episode of a sitcom. Like, and it's over forever.
Exactly. And not only that, but like, there's been halftime shows I didn't like, but I'm like, not like, I got to run to social media and let people know that I'm irate. It just doesn't, it's so silly and such wasted energy. And what I saw a lot from friends of mine were, oh, this is terrible. You couldn't understand a word he's saying. I'm a huge Springsteen fan. Sometimes I can't understand what he's saying. Like, that's the music. And for you to get that upset, and a lot of people said, well, I liked Prince, but this guy's terrible. It's almost like they're saying, listen, I like some black people, but I didn't care for this guy.
Well, and that was, and comparing it to probably the greatest halftime show of all time is almost unfair because it was so unique. And the fact that a lot of people talk about that, you know, Prince did this amazing halftime show. One of his songs was a Foo Fighters cover. So he was doing all this random stuff and just became like this cool moment in time that it was literally raining during Purple Rain. That doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
And so
right.
like it was this once of a lifetime thing where you're not going to like everything. Like I think everyone forgets that. Like everyone talks about, oh, well, Beyonce's done it. Bruno Mars has done it. Yeah, that was Coldplay's. They brought them on as Coldplay wasn't even by themselves. So it just becomes this like weird thing of just,
that's great.
But it's the culture. It's that how angry can I get? What can I get to get people annoyed? Well, how many reactions can I get? And then everyone forgets it 12 hours later. That's the whole thing. It's a It's a outrage 12-hour cycle is what we're living in currently.
You're absolutely right. They're looking for stuff to be ticked off about. Hey, how's the podcast going? Tell people about your podcast, your Brewers podcast, and how can they find it?
Sure. It's called Another Brewers Podcast. And so if you type in Brewers, it should be first because alphabet. And so we do one once every month, every 2 weeks, something like that. And we just did one about kind of getting back into the season. And then we'll probably do one soon about, you know, spring training is going to be done soon, opening days in like 3 weeks. And so probably talking about all that stuff and, you know, Bob Uecker, and they brought in another pitcher. And so, you know, it's just kind of what's been going on with the team.
How do you like their chances this year? What are you expecting?
I'm expecting the same just because last year they thought they were going to be terrible and the Brewers proved everyone wrong. They're really in on the Cubs this year. Again, even though the Cubs really didn't do much, they brought in one outfielder who's having a terrible spring training, which doesn't mean much, but it's not great if your superstar is not playing well. And I don't know. They just assume the Cubs are going to take it, but I think the Brewers, if they don't, they'll at least be a playoff team. I mean, they won 92 games, 93 games, and there's no way they're just going to not win 15 games again. I mean, they've been hitting in spring training. Their pitching is actually better than last year.
Right.
And they have people coming back from injury. So they'll be good. And if anything, they'll be one of the most fun teams to watch. They're going to have the fastest team, one of the best defenses, and a bunch of young players who keep making strides. And so, I mean, even if you're a marginal baseball fan, this team is fun. Even if you talk to other fan bases, they enjoy watching the Brewers. Like, a lot of people don't hate the Brewers unless you're like a Cubs or Cardinals fan.
That's fantastic. I tell people, well, I'll just tell them, it's at Brewers Raptor, folks. Brewer fans, check this out. It's a great podcast. John does a great job hosting it. It's called at Brewers Raptor, Brewers, and then R-A-P-T-O-R. Definitely check it out. It's an excellent podcast. What's going on in the world of stand-up, John? Do you have any shows coming up people might want to know about?
This one's our Don't Tell Comedy. That is where we do shows where you sign up on the website, don'ttellcomedy.com, and they give you dates and you buy tickets, and then you don't know where the show is or who the comedians are until noon that day. And so we have coming up March 27th or 28th and 29th, whatever that Friday and Saturday is our next ones. Also, peek behind the curtain again. If you're a local business owner and want to host, let me know, because we are getting a lot of rejections right now. I do not know what's going on. We usually have no problem. But
that sounds fun,
some
actually.
Spas and some hobby shops were not happy that I even asked. So we're going to keep going.
That's terrible. Who are the comedians on March 28th and 29th?
I can't tell.
I'm just kidding.
That's the whole thing, Pete.
What gives? Why do you think? That was a ha-ha moment. What's with the sponsors? I don't get that.
It's just a rare thing where you have to find the right setup, because the thing is that the big thing is that the audience gets to bring their own drinks and stuff. So you have to find a place that isn't like a bar or restaurant too. So it takes out a whole chunk of local businesses, because they either, you know, they're a bar or they serve food or something like that. So it's that sweet spot of like a local business that has just a big enough space to fit, you know, 40, 50 people and some comics. So it's that, you know, you have to find that the right business.
Such a great idea. Don't Tell Comedy. Absolutely love it. John Egan is my guest. He is a De Pere-based stand-up comic. Check him out at Brewers Raptor on social medias. I just Googled. We played some of your comedy earlier, John, off YouTube. He's got so many great YouTube videos out there. Check him out. We'll be back with a few more minutes with John. I'm going to ask John about the Oscars and Aldi if we have time. Can we get to Aldi, John? We got to cover Aldi.
Okay, we have time, sure.
All right, fantastic. Do you have the whole night blocked out for the show? What time do we have to let you go? If we get you out of here by 10, does that work?
There's no way I'm talking to Craig Kinnett. There's no way I'm talking to that guy. So when he's on, I'm out.
Done and done. All right, we'll be right back with more with John Egan on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Get up home. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue.
What is your Fat Tuesday meal, folks? Catholics, non-Catholics alike, people just looking for an excuse to eat. I know you're out there. I'm one of them. What is your Fat Tuesday meal? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. I'm wearing my Tuesday night shirt. It is the fourth best shirt I have, and it is not that great. But nevertheless, John Egan is with me. He's on the phone right now, a local comedian.
Hello, sir.
Pardon?
Say hello.
Hello, hello, John. Craig Knitt just got here, John, and he said he brought comic books for your kids.
Oh, was it to give them to me? Thought I was going to be there?
I think maybe he thought you were going to be here, and I probably said that just because I like to think about you here, even though I knew you weren't coming. But we'll figure something out. Yeah, we'll get them to you.
That's so nice. I love Craig.
He said you guys. He thought maybe you guys were going to have an opportunity to do some improv, and I said, Craig, I wouldn't just spring that on you if that was a thing. I didn't even know you guys knew each other, but. Let's talk about that because I think you guys know each other from improv. There's a great outfit here locally called Comedy City, and I thought you were just a stand-up, but you do that kind of stuff as well. Improv, do you do sketch too? And what do you like better, John?
I actually started doing improv in high school, so that was kind of like my first love. And then I kind of, you know, went to college, and then 2 years into college, I joined Comedy City. And so I did some stand-up in college. It was really bad. Every gig was terrible. It was called, it was like this group of people, and I think Johnny Beaner was actually in it for a while. It was called We Suck, but it stood for Wisconsin Stand-Up Comedian, WISUC. So great marketing, great name. But it was hell gigs and just bombing and bad, and just it was really bad. So I kind of quit because I was bad. And so then I did improv for like every weekend for like almost a decade. And Craig was there a lot. We overlapped a very long time and then got back into stand up. And then I kind of did that for a while, mostly just because money, but improv too is still kind of my first love. And I was just there last week. I'll actually be there in 2 weeks, March 14th and 15th in Comedy City. So I do both and I love it.
Nice. And why shouldn't you, right? I mean, they're both fantastic. Do you find that the improv helps your stand-up and vice versa, or does one help the other medium any more than the other?
I would say everyone should do both. I mean, that's the thing, is that a lot of improv people hate stand-up. A lot of stand-ups hate improv. And I get it, but it's very different, but it only helps you. I mean, if you're doing stand-up, you work by yourself, and you have to be able to do it by yourself. So say if you're hosting an improv show or on the stage by yourself, you know how to interact with the audience. You know how to have things ready and be more confident. But then on improv, you have to work as a team. Like, you have to know how to work with people. It's not just always about you. So in real things, it kind of elevates each other, in my opinion.
Very well said. You are in without mentioning the other person's name, you're in a bit of a war of words that I looked at on social media. I don't want to give the other comic any pub, so to speak. If you really want to find out what's going on, follow John on his socials and you can figure it out. But is comedy split into two different camps now? Are there right-wing and left-wing comics, or are there just comics that say horrible things and everybody else?
Yeah, I think, right now it's kind of a phase of that. Like, it's like this anti like inclusion comedy where, like, if you say a lot of like hateful things, or like, as they call it, like non-woke, non-PC, that sort of thing, there is this niche audience that enjoys that. And it is very popular right now, and it works and stuff like that. But it's just kind of a phase where, you know, I think everyone's a comic, and probably off stage, they're not terrible, but on stage they are, because they know that's what makes them money right now. So it's kind of these like different areas, but it's also just like a time, like,
right.
Like during 2020 and during the pandemic, everything was every comedy club booked TikTok comedians, and because everyone was watching TikTok, and then they realized they didn't have 45 minutes, and after a terrible weekend at a club, they were never brought back. But they made that money and had that phase where a lot of other comics weren't being booked and that sort of thing. And so, I don't know, it comes and goes in phases. But yeah, there are comedians who are just punching down to punch down, and some people find that funny. But if you're not writing jokes and it's just to be mean to other people, that's not really what comedy is. It's supposed to make everyone laugh and relate to it, not punch down like over and over as a punchline. Like, that's not a joke, technically.
Well, and if like the clips I see are all anti-woke or like kind of hateful stuff, it's like, do you have any jokes about your kids? Or, you know, it's all like this spewing venom.
You don't have to talk about your kids, but yeah, the punchline shouldn't be a stereotype about a certain race, or if someone's gay, or like, you know, they're making videos of, they're taking clips of comics who are part of the LGBT plus community and making fun of them while they're doing their set. It's like, that's not what we do. Like, that's, you don't, the whole point of comedy is not to bring down other people. It is supposed to make people laugh. That is your goal. You are supposed to write jokes to make people laugh. It should not be that hard.
Or like you said, punch upward. Exactly. That's how all the greats like Carlin and Richard Pryor and all those guys, they punched up, not down, as you said. So that's very well said. Hey, can we keep you after the news? I'd love to ask you about Aldi and the Oscars, John. And I got off on this tangent about bad comedians. I'm sorry.
Sure, let's do it.
All right, fantastic. Comedian John Egan is here. He is a DePere comedian, and he does improv and stand-up, and you need to follow him on at Brewers Raptor on Twitter, formerly or now known as X, the former artist that is Twitter, whatever you want to call it. Hey, are you on Blue Sky, John?
Yes.
Okay.
Brewers Raptor on Blue Sky.
All right, very cool. All right, we'll have more with John Egan. We're going to get his thoughts on the Oscars and Aldi, which I love. Coming up next, and then Craig Kinnett joins me at 7:20. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll break down the presidential address with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project, and see what's ahead for Ukraine. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tonight, President Trump's first address to Congress of his new term. On the same day, he imposed tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China imports. To Washington and ABC's Mary Bruce.
Tariffs have long been a cornerstone of the president's economic policies, and he's offered a wide range of reasons for why he feels these new tariffs are necessary. The big question now, how much pain might Americans feel from this, and will he prepare them for that in his speech tonight?
After Friday's Oval Office diplomatic blowout, a pair of sources now telling ABC News that Ukraine could sign a high-stakes mineral deal in the coming hours. This coming after the president directed his administration to pause military aid to Ukraine. ABC News has learned that the IRS is preparing to cut as much as half of its staff as part of the Trump administration's latest round of cuts to the federal workforce. A powerful winter storm sweeping across the central U.S., high winds, blizzard conditions, a confirmed EF1 tornado touching down in Oklahoma. The system now moving east. This is ABC News.